5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Yes, welcome into Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell as we guide you through the fastest 2 hours in radio. Before we get underway with our first guest, we want to hear from you. Connect with us at Twitter, at eRadioSports. And always, just as a reminder, you can go to our podcast page at yahoosportsradio.com/podcast. We're going to start off by talking some college football, the inaugural college football playoff field. It is set. And no doubt, it has created a ton of controversy. Just as a quick recap, number one, Alabama will face fourth-ranked Ohio State in New Orleans on the evening of January 1st. And number two, Oregon against FSU in Pasadena, California. The winners will meet in Arlington on January 12th. It always is a pleasure to welcome in three-time national champion, our NFL and our college football analyst. That is Jason Peter. He is joining us on our celebrity guest line, Stuart Cadillac, Real People, Real Value, Real Simple, and SCORE, the Athletes Network. There's no off-season at score.com. Good evening, Jason. It's nice to have you with us.
Thanks for having me. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Christmas will be here soon. Always an exciting time of year, but it seems like over the past month, I've been asking you each and every week, did the committee get it right? Did the committee get it right? TCU and Baylor were left out. So my question to you is, did they get it right?
You know, I mean, this is a question I feel like I've answered probably 100 times and probably 100 different answers as well. I think... You know, in the, for the most part, yeah, I think they did. Did you get the best four teams? I don't know if you got the best four teams. I told you after they kind of gave us this final four that I thought both TCU and Baylor probably could beat Ohio State, especially. You know, given that they have this new quarterback there, you're going to have extended time to prepare. You know, I don't know when you look at what he was able to do against Wisconsin. Wisconsin doesn't have a great pass rushing team. It's not like they have a premier pass rusher that would be able to disrupt, you know, a young quarterback who's just taken over the reins the way that it's happened out in Columbus. I mean, and I'm not taking any credit away from Urban Meyer. I mean, to think about what he's done with that team. I mean, I remember saying this team is headed for, you know, 7-8 wins when they lost Braxton Miller. I mean, you're talking about a legit Heisman Trophy candidate. Then you replace him with a guy, JT Barrett, who ultimately turns himself into a Heisman Trophy candidate by season's end. And you lose him for the entire, you know, for the rest of the year, and then you find some way or another to absolutely blow away a now head coachless Wisconsin team, you know, right off the map. I mean, that was an embarrassing game for Wisconsin. They welcomed to Huskerville. Now you know how you know the Nebraska fan base feels after. After we walk off the field, you know, when you look at some of the embarrassing losses that we've had over the last 6-7 years. But, yeah, I mean, I think you got to look at what happened with the Big 12. You know, the whole one champion thing kind of backfired on them. You had, you know, the commissioner coming out and declaring co-champs, you know, which to me was news. I mean, I was under the understanding that head-to-head, you know, would be ultimately a deciding factor. And you know, Baylor obviously had won that football game. But I think it was easier for the committee to keep both of them out and give it to Ohio State rather than to just keep one out. Because, you know, you could go with Baylor and then you say, well, you know, okay, well, you know, they are conference champs and you know, they've won all these games and you know, there's reason to give it to them. But then there's also, you could go with TCU and say, well, TCU is the better football team at this point, playing right now. I mean, TCU absolutely annihilated Iowa State. It could have been a lot worse.
Complete domination.
Yeah, but now, you know, you really, I mean, you kind of, you know, the silver lining in all this, and you know, I'm sure people down in the TCU area, down in Texas, and across that state, and probably, you know, most places in Big 12 country, know the type of person that you have, not just coach, but person, with Gary Patterson. And that's been more evident than ever.
Yep.
You know, that I've kind of, you know, been following since I've been following college football than it is now, because you've seen how two coaches have handled this situation, this hand that's been dealt to them. And one is like, you know, just pointing the finger at everybody, and Art Briles, and saying, this is, you know, they screwed us, they did this, you know, this system is garbage, this conference, you know, everything. And then you have Gary Patterson, who is hurting just as much. You know, it doesn't hurt Gary Patterson any less than it does Art Briles. You still got to walk in, you got to tell kids, you know, what you did isn't good enough, but what, you know, class is coming out of the head coach from TCU right now.
Oh, absolutely. Gary Patterson, no doubt. I mean, Jason, you nailed it. I mean, class act. I mean, he definitely, if you watch that press conference, he took the high road, and just how surprising that was to drop from 3-6, and it is definitely evident that the Big 12, they were penalized for having a co-champion. They have got to fix that now.
Yeah. You know, this it goes back to when we first, in 1996, when it first started, and I remember when this conference was being formed, and whether or not there was going to be a championship game at the end. And at the time, you know, it was just, I believe the SEC was the only other conference that maybe did a championship game. And I remember Coach Osborne was very against it. You know, maybe unless there was, you know, circumstances where you just, I guess, maybe had to be played. I think there was kind of some, you know, fine print that went along with, I think, Osborne's idea. But ultimately, you know, they choose. And, you know, in that first year, we ended up where we were an 11-1 team, you know, going to play for a national championship, and we had to play a 7-5 or whatever it was, Texas team, and they end up beating us. And it's just, you know, it proves it doesn't matter, you know, if it's 1996 or whatever. I just think when you look at championship games, there's no reason that somebody shouldn't have them, because on any given day, anybody can beat anybody, and you got to be prepared, and you got to be dialed in, and you got to have your A game. And it gives now, obviously with this opportunity, this college football playoff, it gives teams a final chance to make their case against somebody.
Great
who's
point.
At least
yep.
going to be, you know, above average, you know, team, especially the way the landscape is nowadays. I just think that you're missing out if you don't have if you don't give yourself that opportunity to showcase your talent in front of a nationwide audience.
Okay, we're breaking it all down this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Jason Peter, three-time national champion at the University of Nebraska, with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. We've got to step aside for our very first commercial break. We will be rejoined with him. And let's pick up, Jay, where you were, what you were just talking about the Big 12 Conference. I mean, obviously a ton of criticism with the league lacking a title game. I want to get into that up next at Yahoo Sports Radio. Yes, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. As we continue continue on with our college football discussion with Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. And Jason, before we went to break, we were talking about the Big 12 Conference and just the criticism the league has received from lacking a title game. You just have to wonder how this is going to impact some of the decisions as they move forward.
I don't know if it will be fixed or resolved in a year. I think a lot of these guys who are making these decisions, who sit behind, big desks, are going to say, I want to see what happens, for the next 2 years or 3 years. Because you got to remember, at one point, people were talking and saying, well, if Alabama loses, and let's say Florida State, they lose somehow too, because they were walking the edge there for a while, could the Big 12? No, it's not possible, is it? They could get two teams into the Final
right.
Four. So at one point he's looking like, oh, man, not having this championship game, it might be the greatest thing ever because we were going to be able to sneak two teams in. But I just think when you look at it, when you step back, I don't know if that possibility is going to be there every year. I don't know if it's going to be as tight every year. Everybody wants to go to eight. Some people are talking, go to six and give, two teams buys. I don't know. I think some of these guys will probably wait a couple years before they do something. But I think ultimately, I think any time you get an opportunity nowadays to go in front of a national television audience and play a quality opponent. Look at Ohio State. They played Wisconsin, who was considered a very, very strong team that kind of had found its way, four or five games into the season and was really playing well. And people were giving Wisconsin a lot of credit. And then Ohio State absolutely just tore them apart. And I think it was easy for the committee to leapfrog put Ohio State into that fourth spot. I'm sure it was difficult for them to drop TCU, but I think it just shows kind of how close those spots were, when you talk about 4, 5, and 6.
The Double Nickel is with us, Jason Peter, with our Under the Helmet segment. We're dissecting, we're breaking it all down, talking about the college football playoff field. It is set. We're looking forward to that. But I have to wonder, Jason, I want to talk to you about this. Does this kind of whet the appetite with conference expansion? I'm thinking to myself, come on back, Nebraska, to the Big 12.
Yeah, I think the money is probably too good up here, with some of the wine and cheese crowd, but a lot of the Nebraska fans would love, I think, to be back in the Big 12. They just, and I know it's still new being in the Big 10, but obviously there's a major loss of credibility, at least with football. You look at the Big Ten, and Ohio State is kind of saving everybody's bacon. Urban Meyer has saved, a lot of people, the embarrassment of not having a team probably finish, close to the top 10. You got Michigan State, who, we probably thought maybe they were a little better than they actually were, but that's not taking any credit from Mark D'Antoni. He's done a tremendous job up there, and they're usually a pretty solid team, but, the Big Ten doesn't have a national champ in a while, and didn't look like they were going to get any closer this year, but Urban has done a tremendous job, and the Big Ten Conference as a whole, though, just doesn't look great.
Well, it's going to be an intriguing matchup when you look at Alabama, Ohio State. In terms of the coaching matchup, Nick Saban against Urban Meyer, two great minds.
Yeah, they faced each other, went back in, I think it was 07 or 08, and, obviously the two of them know each other very well. It's going to be exciting. It really is. I think Alabama ultimately just has too much. I know that Ohio State has talent. Since Urban has got there, he has stockpiled it. He has stockpiled it like an SEC team. I just don't know. You talk about what Saban has done down there, and the train has been going full speed for a while now, down there at Alabama. And guys, it's routine. You know, they're used to the way that things are being done in general. Obviously, you bring a guy like Kiffin on, he changes it up a little bit. He's you know, adding a lot of elements to what they do offensively. And they're dangerous. But I think, you know, when you look at Ohio State, they're still figuring it out. I mean, they're still, you know, I don't know if I'm as confident maybe as some Ohio State fans, you know, that now, even though they're with their third string quarterback, that, you know, Nick Saban and Kirby Smart aren't absolutely going to devise some game plan where, you know, this quarterback is looking up at the sky for most of the night. I mean, they're going to come after this guy, and Alabama can get after the quarterback like any other team, you know, that has premier pass rushers. I mean, they kind of pin their ears back and they come. So it'll be interesting to see what Urban's able to do to kind of, you know, slow down that pass rush and give that young quarterback, you know, some time to operate.
What jumps out at you when we talk about the Oregon, the Florida State matchup? Because that's going to be a very competitive game.
I think it's like, you know, I'm thinking is Florida State going to get it? Are they going to get it? You know, is this, you know, they kind of pushed everything to the limits for an entire season, and you know, all they did was win, and people just kept dropping them and dropping them. And I mean, you're talking about, you know, football people that were dropping them when you talk about that committee. And you look at Florida State, and you know, they have this quarterback who, you know, already has a Heisman Trophy, and he makes you want to dislike Florida State with a passion. Then they have this head coach who always defends this player, you know, no matter what he does, and he kind of makes you want to hate him even more.
Right, right.
But they're so talented, and you're thinking they're going to get it, right? They're going to get it. Now, do they get it against Oregon? I don't know. It's tough to prepare for the Oregon offense in 1 week. Well, Florida State's got some time now. And, you know, those coaches, he's got some good coaches on that staff, and I'm sure it will be a good game. But I like Oregon in that game.
Husker great, always a pleasure. And, Jay, we look forward to catching up with you next week. You stay warm up there in Lincoln, okay?
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Yes, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show on this Friday night. You can connect with us at Twitter at E Radio Sports and always email the show. I love hearing from all of my listeners at Elissa@YahooSportsRadio.com. Well, we are ready to roll up our sleeves and we're going to talk some NBA because there are plenty of storylines to discuss. We're going to start in the Eastern Conference and highlight the Cleveland Cavaliers. What a turnaround. And we also, we want to diagnose what in the world is going on with the Knicks. So it's a pleasure to have back on our program well-known sports writer and author Roland Lazenby. He's so diverse in his background. He does it all. He is also the senior editor with Lindy's Pro Basketball Magazine. Of course, Roland is joining us on our celebrity guest line at Stuart Cadillac. Real people, real value, real simple, and Score, our newest sponsor, the Athletes Network. There is no off-season at Score, at score.com. Good evening, Roland. How are you?
I'm doing great, Alyssa. How are you?
I'm always good. I always love talking some NBA. And, you know, as I mentioned in the open, I want to start off our conversation with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I mean, when we reflect back on that 5-7 start to the season, I think so many folks started overreacting because King James and company, they are certainly rolling right now with their streak of 8 wins. And they had that big, you know, win on, Tuesday night against the Raptors. My question to you is, can the Cavs or are the Cavs the best team in the East?
Well, their record is the best. We'll have to see. The schedule has been favorable. Obviously, they're putting together a new roster. They certainly have the best player in the world, and he's becoming more comfortable in Cleveland. But now they're going to have to start playing some of these Western Conference teams in earnest. And so we'll find out more about them. You know, if you don't know anything about sports, you can understand that the secrets are revealed by and by, and we're going to get a better look at the Cavs. I still think the Bulls will be better, but who knows? I mean, they are coming on pretty strong.
Well, it sounds so simple, but were you surprised to see them get off and out of the gates to a little bit of a slow start?
I was not. They are not they have perhaps the game's best defensive player in LeBron, and you know, they have a lot of new elements. A couple of their younger guys have gotten a lot of acclaim for their offensive game, but they weren't really dedicated defensive players. We are seeing them become better defensively. It took a while for them to figure out some of their offense. They are trying to play a little bit more of a European-style offense, so these kinds of things don't just happen quickly. They take time. So I'm not surprised, just as I'm not surprised to see them playing better.
Prolific author and sports writer Roland Lazenby is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And Roland, here we are in the middle of December, and it just sounds like listening to you, this is where you expected the Cavs to be at this point. I mean, it's taken them a while to get into sync, and I guess one of the real lessons that we continue to learn, especially in pro sports, is just the value of chemistry. I mean, we see so much turnover within rosters within the league, but chemistry is very, very important, isn't it?
Oh, it is so important, and you can't microwave it. It takes time. Basically, you're building relationships, and not just personal relationships, but on-the-floor basketball-style relationships, and that takes a little time.
So when you review their body of work and their success against some of the heavy hitters, you were talking about, yeah, the Cavs, though, they haven't matched up against any of those big-name teams in the Western Conference, but they've had two wins over the Raptors. They had a beatdown, in fact, and then, of course, against the Washington Wizards, which they're a very tough team. And I would say even Milwaukee. I mean, that's one of the most improved teams within the leagues. How do you see them stacking up against some of the contenders within the Western Conference? Because it's loaded.
Well, I think it's going to be a little tougher because those teams, a number of them have been together a while. They have a more secure chemistry. They know how they're going to play. The Cavs are finding that out, of course. It's taking a little time. It always does. But I do think the Cavs will have their moments against those teams. I just don't think they're quite at that level yet. Now, we have a lot of basketball yet to play, so the Cavs, you know, are making nice progress. It's easy to be hopeful for them.
Okay, one of the things I got to ask you about is, what was your reaction to LeBron and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Garnett, you know, wearing the I Can't Breathe t-shirts? I mean, LeBron, his willingness to show support and use his platform to address a very serious topic.
Well, you know, these guys are paid at executive levels. They make lots of money. Basically, one of the first things I learned years ago when I started covering the NBA is that each player is a corporation unto himself. And that is true today more than ever. And, I think they're obviously very comfortable in making those statements. It's important to them. And obviously, it's an important reminder culturally. So, some people say athletic performers have no basis and things. But these are real people. They've lived real lives. They've seen all kinds of things happen to their relatives and friends, in the neighborhoods where they grew up. That's particularly true of LeBron growing up in Akron in a very difficult situation. The man who may well have been his father was murdered after a card game in 1994. So, you know, he's been through a lot of serious things in his life. All of these people have. And this is America. We have First Amendment rights.
We are talking the NBA with Roland Lazenby, author and senior editor with Lindy Sports Pro Basketball Magazine. We're also going to preview here momentarily. He's always working so hard. He's got another book that has just been released. And, you know, perhaps LeBron, Roland, I mean, he can be that leading voice for social issues and use his star power to demonstrate support.
Right, and he seems comfortable in that role. Mm-hmm. You know, most of the major stars of pro basketball over the years have come from very stable families. And LeBron is one of these guys who was fatherless most of the time when he grew up. Mm. And he has been mature from an early age. He has shown great maturity. And I think he represents the power that lots of fatherless men around the world display. The romance of sports is always about fathers and sons, but LeBron James presents a different narrative, and that's part of this.
Well, I think LeBron James said it best. I mean, it's not a Cavs thing. It's a worldly thing when he was talking about, you know, wearing the I Can't Breathe t-shirts. And, of course, we just think about throughout the history of sports, whether it's a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, a Jim Brown, Muhammad Ali. These are guys that were bold and brave and took a stand, correct?
That is correct. That's why we consider them iconic today, because they stood up within their sports. They stood up as men. They conducted themselves as men. They were concerned about the public at large and about issues, and they displayed great depth. And I think LeBron, over his time in the league, has done the same and is doing the same.
Roland, do you think athletes today are doing enough when it comes to social responsibilities?
Well, you know, I think that's up to the individual person. I think each athlete has to decide what works best for him. It's sort of hard for me to criticize or even to evaluate people as a group, because they're all so different. They have such different motivations. But I do think there is across the business of professional sports, I do think you see today more and more people concerned about speaking out, that there are issues afoot today that strike them deeply, and they feel the need to comment. And frankly, regular citizens all over the place feel the same way. I think it's primarily a reminder that no matter how big the rep, no matter how big the hype, these athletes are human beings, and they respond to events as such.
Okay, Roland Lazenby with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Of course, we want you to connect with us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. And Roland has released a new book. We're going to talk about that, I promise, here in just a moment. Give me a quick hit on the New York Knicks, I mean, because they are struggling mightily.
Right. Well, you know, they actually are trying hard and executing the basic levels of the triangle offense very well. But it's everywhere else they have their troubles. And it's also probably, when you get down to it, that fundamental of belief. You have a number of veteran players there who are making the switch to this. And it is an offensive system, but it's an entire basketball system. And so not only are they struggling a bit with their beliefs, it creates an issue with their confidence and even their timing. I covered a Knicks game the other night, and they were like a drummer. They struck me as a drummer who had lost timing. And then all of those things, confidence is such a big factor in sports. And the other harsh fact is that the Knicks have some players on their roster. While they're good guys, they simply aren't NBA players. And I do think that Phil Jackson and even Derek Fisher have been surprised at this, and they realize their turnaround job in New York is going to take longer than they thought.
Roland Lazenby has been with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Give us a quick hit on the new book that's been released, and we'll have you back on, and we'll break it all down.
It's called Best Regrets, VMI's John McKinnon, The Lost Age of College Football. And it really comes out 50 years after the NCAA had made a switch from two platoon football, as we play it today, defense and offense. The NCAA quickly said, we're playing one platoon football. The quarterback has to play. Everybody has to play both ways. Uh-huh. The coaches can't substitute. It's a really tough game. And it meant that little teams like VMI could rise to the top. And it's the story of this small military school team that goes into the top 20 of the AP and finishes the season undefeated.
Well, congratulations on that. I'll look forward to talking some college football with you, and happy holidays to you and your family, and we'll catch up after the new year. Thank you so much, Roland.
You too, Alyssa. Take care.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. You stay close. We are back at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell, as I continue to guide you through the fastest 2 hours in radio. And how about the coaching carousel? It is underway in college football. Nebraska's got a new head coach in Mike Riley, and so does the University of Florida. The Gators hired Colorado State's head coach, Jim McElwain. And joining us on our Stuart Cadillac guest line tonight is Buddy Martin from SouthernPigskin.com, the host of Southern Pigskin Tonight. They are continuing to expand their territory. They are now in 7 markets. Good evening, Buddy. It's nice to have you with us.
Hey, Alyssa, how you doing? Maybe there's another opening by now. I don't know. Wisconsin now is looking for a coach. By the time we get off the air, somebody else could be looking for a coach. it's starting to heat up.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. Okay, so Florida introduces Jim McElwain, after Will Muschamp's unfortunate 3 years, and they have gone from a defensive-minded coach to an offensive one. Did the Gators get it right?
Yeah, actually, it was 4 years. I know we're having so much fun, you probably lost one there. I like this guy. My honest opinion about it on the hire was, originally, was I was okay with it. Because you like to see the University of Florida go after somebody that is established and well-known and a grade-A kind of, a Bob Stoops kind of guy, which is the name being kicked around again. It always is whenever Florida looking for a coach and some of that nature. And in the reality, coaches today are really hard to move because of the buyouts. And I had a conversation with Steve Spurrier about this from South Carolina last week. It's just really hard now when you've got to, A, pay them off, pay 7.5 just to pay off the school.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you had to, pay off a coach to fire him, which they did with Muschamp, $6.3 million, and then give him a $3.5 million contract for 6 years, now you're looking at a $34 million coach. So, and that's not even Bob Stoops. So it's really hard to hire people today, given all those constraints. I think given that, I think Florida did an excellent job. And once I got in the room with the new head coach, Jim McElwain, I had a different opinion.
Okay, so did you know that Jim McElwain, that he was even on the radar? I mean, did you identify him as a top candidate?
Well, we were hearing that. We were starting to hear that. His name was being mentioned as, fourth or fifth option down the line, sixth option. And it was a name that we were familiar with because, obviously, he coached at Alabama and coached on three national championship teams as a quarterback coach. But really, we thought he would be like 1A or 1B or whatever. And when it came about, some people were kind of like, okay, well, gosh, we're Florida. We're one of the top five jobs in the country. Well, first of all, you can't make that claim anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, Florida's a top 10 job, but given the amount of money that's out there right now, with the SEC network money alone, Mississippi State can afford to pay Dan Mullen a ton of money. And Dan Mullen used to be a name on the list around here, former Urban Meyer offensive coordinator, as a guy they'd go after. But clearly, Mississippi State's got great facilities, and they've got now they're winning. And so it's harder to get past those. But McElwain was a guy that was known by football people. And I think once he got in the room and began talking about his coaching philosophy, and if you've ever watched his team play, and I did watch Colorado State play Air Force, he's got some terrific offensive players, and they were not five stars. And Rashard Higgins, a wide receiver, led the nation in touchdowns and catches as well. And so this guy knows how to coach. So I think he may be a sleeper. I like to hire right now, and if I was a 7.5 before on a scale of 1 to 10, I think I'm probably closer to a little 8 or more, and we'll see if he can win. But I got a good feeling about this.
Wow. The great Buddy Martin from SouthernPigskin.com, the host of Southern Pigskin Tonight, which airs in 7 markets, is joining us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And I have to tell you, I carved out time. I watched Jim McElwain's his press conference, a very dynamic personality. I mean, you could tell that he's such a captivating guy. What were your early impressions from listening to him and now spending some time with him?
Well, number one, let's put it this way. He owned the room in 30 minutes. It was his room.
Yeah.
Led me to believe, and I wrote this on my column at SouthernPigskin.com, that he'll own his locker room in a week. Not because he's dynamic, he's not a fire breather, but he's real. And he has a sense of humor and a sense of appreciation, and he knows how to coach some ball. He even quoted Steve Spurrier, which in this part makes him, pretty good guy.
right.
And he knows the history of this program. And I loved it when I asked him, I said, well, what are you going to call your offense? And he already said he was like one of those dogs that, at the Humane Society. He said, well, how about we just call it Humane Society? Because, he feels like he says, Humane Society, I'm not one of those off-breeds or those mutts or mongols that, shows up and what you get is what you get. So he even said his dog, Clarabelle, just, he said, I don't know who I've got at quarterback, but I could put Clarabelle back there and we can win. So you got to love that sense of humor, that confidence, and the fact that he's got some really good offensive acumen.
Well, it sounds like he really understands the Gator brand as well.
Yes, he does understand it. And the brand's been, I won't say tarnished, it's just not sparkling like it used to. And I talked to Urban Meyer today. He, of course, has had great success at Ohio State. What a win.
Wow.
59-0 wow. Wisconsin. When you, I guess he forced the coach into retirement. I mean, leaving. But,
right.
But going back to the glory days, so this program has been one of the tops of the country. And there's no question about the fact he gets that. Whether he can win national championships, we'll wait on that, you know. But certainly, I think what's frustrating, as much as people like Will Muschamp and appreciate his defensive coaching ability, is the offense, no matter who you put in as the offensive coordinator, and include Kurt Roper the last time out, they just couldn't seem to get it out of the players. And that's part of it. You got to develop players. That's one thing Urban Meyer did great. I mean, look, Urban Meyer puts a third-string quarterback in and beats Wisconsin 59-0. That's what you call player development.
Well, and last season, it was so unfortunate they had that slew of injuries. But correct me if I'm wrong, they've gone through, what, three offensive coordinators?
Three offensive coordinators in 4 years, and the injuries everybody has. We can't use that story anymore, an excuse. So it's just what it is. It's obviously got to be the coach. So we're going to find out if this is the guy who can correct all that. But like I said, I got a good feeling. And at least Gator fans can look forward to the fact that maybe see some scores and some ball plays out there, you know. We're used to having Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer and guys over there that, you know, draw them up and execute them. So I think, as one of the guys told me, he's close to the program at Florida, he said, this guy's got a little Steve Spurrier in him. You know, and I talked to Steve last week, and I suggested someone said that. And he said, yeah, I could see that. He's a regular guy. I can understand that.
Well, he's from the Big Sky Country. What, he's from Montana, so my home state, got to love that. Let me ask you this, buddy. What kind of timetable will he be given? How long until he's got to bring a national title home?
Well, he's got 6 years, $3.5 million. I don't know if anybody will bring a national title home. It's tough out there because national championships are not won always by design. Sometimes they're decided by fate. You've got a better chance with fate if you have a great coach and you recruit well. He's going to have a couple of years to recruit. I think what we want to see up there now is them being competitive in the SEC, and for that matter, the SEC East. And it's not getting any easier out there. If you look at how – there's no easy outs in the SEC.
Right.
Mississippi State's no longer there. Vanderbilt's getting better right now. South Carolina was down this year a little bit, you know, of course. And Georgia's up and down. Florida had an off year. The SEC East is at every level is getting harder and harder, and forget the SEC West. They play in another universe. When you talk about a division of one conference being the best league in America, you know, so you're talking about huge competition. It's going to have to take everything you've got in terms of your guile and your guts and your organization and what have you. And so Jim McElwain's got his work cut out for him.
Buddy, we will talk to you in 2015. It'll be here.
Thank you. Listen, I'm looking forward to it. It's always a pleasure to be on with you.
Thank you so much. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR. You stay close.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.